The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And we've made it to Friday. We thank all of you for being a part of the program. We'll be around for a couple of hours, and we hope you'll stick around. Appreciate all the contributions to yesterday. We had intended to spend a small amount of time on the 40th anniversary of Coach Bryant's death, and we ended up spending most of the time, but it was really fascinating and eye-opening, even for a few of us who have been around long enough to have been there. Thanks for being a part of the program. Let's get to some headlines right away. And very sad news to report from the world of sports. The legendary broadcaster, Billy Packer, he did the Final Four for CBS for several decades. He played basketball at Wake Forest, and truly one of the most influential people to ever broadcast college basketball, passing away yesterday. And we certainly send along our deepest condolences to his family and many, many friends across the country. We move along and talk about things in the Pac-12, where they got a mess on their hands. We'll talk about it a little bit later on with the poet laureate of the Pac-12, John Wilner. Bryce Young's dad, I should say, talking about NIL and what it meant for him. Remember, Bryce Young was pretty much the first big star to get a big deal. Now what Bryce Young got, just kind of average, but he broke the seven-figure mark a couple of years ago. And we'll talk to the person who did the interview. And that person is right there, Ivan Maisel. No stranger to this program. We saw Ivan in L.A. It seemed like a year ago, but it was just about 2 weeks ago. Ivan, thanks for the time. Good to see you again. And tell us what Bryce's dad, Craig, had to say about NIL and everything else.
Well, it was interesting, Paul. Thanks for having me. I just thought who best to have some advice for kids and for parents about what to do than the father of a guy who was the first to crack the code. And basically what Craig Young said was, don't make a decision on your school based on NIL deals. He said, that's all a long-term play. What you need to do as a when you're picking a school is pick it for academics and pick it for the coaches that will best develop you so that you can become a player who will be worthy of being someone that a big company wants to have in their ads. You know, develop your brand and you know, the NIL should be the long-term play, not the short-term play.
Ivan, obviously talking to him so much to discuss. His son's about to be one of the top picks in the draft. His career at Alabama is finished. What else did you learn in that conversation?
Well, it was really interesting. I asked him a couple things about it. One thing I wanted to know, which I didn't get into in the column, I just said, did you get any inclination over the last year and a half of what is now the NIL era that there were ever any locker room issues at Alabama because of Bryce making such big deals and the other players on the team not? And he said what I've heard from other coaches, which is that there really have been no issues, that kids understand, they're all happy for one another when they get deals, and they understand that, you know, some guys have a bigger profile than others, which I always kind of assume that would be the case, that by the time you finish high school, if you're an offensive lineman, you understand that the quarterback's going to get the girls and you're cool with it. But it was kind of nice to hear him say that's actually what happened in college too, that, you know, the players all understand how this deal works and that there really was no jealousy.
Talking to Ivan Maisel, I believe, Ivan, you were in our last segment before we turned the table to the championship game in L.A., and I want to ask you about not so much the result, we all know that, but really the shifting movement, or seemingly shifting movement in college football, and I know how, I know what you think of Nick Saban, and I think we all agree with you on that, but what First, before we get to Kirby Smart, what do you make out of Saban's upcoming moves? He's got two coordinator positions, and how critical is this moment in time for a guy that really doesn't need this any longer but continues to try to climb new mountains at 71?
Well, I mean, it's critical in the sense that it's always critical, but, you know, if you're going to trust anybody to make a good coordinator hire, it's Nick, because he's got more experience at it than anybody in the country, right? You know, he does it every couple of years and seems to find a way to hire, either he hires guys who understand how that they've got to work in his system, or once they get there, it becomes very clear to them they've got to work in his system. But either way, you know, they adapt to him. And, you know, we all know it's been a way station for the, you know, the wayward and forlorn. And, you know, he's become Father Flanagan if you're a coach in need of rehabbing your reputation or your career. So that really makes the, you know, there are going to be a lot more candidates in Tuscaloosa than there might be at other places. But I don't sense this as critical in the sense that, you know, oh my God, what if he doesn't hire good coordinators? I mean, if he doesn't, he'll fire him and hire somebody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't take very long if you're Nick Saban. I know how closely you've watched that, you know, Nick Saban. I say closely. I mean, you're not living there, but you're pretty close. You're from that state. You know the family. You know these people very well. At this point, how do you think Nick Saban is handling what happened on that Monday night when we last saw you, and the fact that someone other than him is going for a three-peat within the SEC?
Well, I feel almost certain it's energized him. You know, he's got a goal to chase now, he always has a goal to chase, but he's got somebody to point at, and it's somebody he knows and somebody he trained. And if that's not going to energize a guy like Nick, then I don't know what will. Then he does need to get out. But he's shown no inclination that he wants to. You know, he's still, as he said in that, you know, now famous clip with Marcus Spears, you know, he's not tired of losing. I mean, you know, he's not tired of winning. And so I think it's going to be raring to go. He's just signed the best class that, you know, if you go by stars, it's the best class anybody signed in a long time, if not ever, and we'll see how he develops them.
Ivan, as you look at the college football landscape, we know where Georgia is. It seems like the usual suspects, Ohio State, Michigan from one end of the country. But as you look at it broadly, what do you see for next year, other than obviously Alabama and Georgia competing in the SEC?
All you want me to do is tell you who TCU will be this year, which school will be TCU. Is that all you're looking for?
That's all we need so I can go to Vegas.
Hey, thanks. There are some schools that intrigue me, Paul. Washington with Michael Penix coming back and, you know, had the quietest 10-2 season ever. I think Pac-12, again, as they have a want to do, had a quietly good season. And until they can find a way to get on television and you know, attract more attention, then it will always be quiet. But, you know, I'm looking at Washington. You know, we're all waiting to see if SC develops a defense. I'm not smart enough to know, and I don't know how you can tell until people get through the portal, who's going to be the one, that sneaks up on everybody. I don't know. I mean, Sonny Dykes will be the first to tell you they didn't see this coming either. So, you know, hopefully we'll get somebody like that every year now that we're in this new era. That would be fun.
Ivan Maisel from On3 talking about NIL and next year's college football season, which is already here this year. Many thanks, Ivan. We will see you soon. We head to the break as we talk about what we'll be doing next year. We'll talk to Bruce Feldman a little bit later on, John Wilner, and your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, we welcome all of you back here on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for being here. And Dustin is up next in Tulsa. Hello, Dustin.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you, brother?
All good.
Hey, man, good to be hearing from you. Thank you for taking my call, as always. I was going to call in yesterday, but I figured yesterday for Bama fans was a high holy day, so I thought I'd just kind of let them have it and get out of the way. So I've got a few things to talk about, but I'll try to pause through them really quickly. The first thing is I don't know that Bear Bryant was the greatest coach of all time, and I'm not even sure if it's Nick Saban. Would you like to hear who it really is?
I'll be more than happy to.
Houston Dale Nutt Jr.
He's definitely in the running for best coach of all time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when it comes to running the draw 20 times a game, who else could do it better? AJ from Pell City. Is that where he's from? Is AJ from Pell City?
Yeah, that is correct. You are correct.
Yeah, he called in and had some things to say about Jaws and, you know, chumming the water and all this. First of all, I want to point out, he called me a nice guy. I'll be damned if I'll be characterized that way on a national
program. Nobody wants to be called a nice guy.
Yeah. Do not besmirch me like that, AJ. Secondly, I think he forgets how the movie ends, because there's all these great whites and everything, but I'm Roy Scheider, baby. I'm the end-all, be-all here. Because you notice also the great whites didn't show up on Wednesday. Nobody came. You know, I guess they heard I was in the neighborhood. Legend didn't show up. I-Man didn't show up. There was no chum in the water, no nothing. So I think they've heard there's a new king on the block here, and they're kind of, rightfully so, they're being wary.
And Dustin, you are the new king. Hugh is up next, Deep Gap, North Carolina. Hello, Hugh.
Hello, Paul. I hope things are going well for you today.
Thanks, Hugh.
I want to kind of change the nature of the conversation. Tomorrow we have what's tantamount to midterm exams for the men's basketball programs in the Southeastern Conference.
Yes, sir.
And to kind of check out how we stand with probably the strongest basketball conference in the country will be a real, real important signal for all of us, kind of a benchmark for reality. And I really look forward to that given day every year. Sometimes midterms are tougher than final exams. I don't know if that'll be the case, but I'm sure you'll be tuned in and watch a bunch of it.
Oh, sure.
To that end, I've been a little disappointed in the lack of clarity that some pretty smart people, both with ESPN and the Southeastern Conference Network, there's been a lack of clarity about the problems Kentucky sustained the first 8 or 10 games of the season and how they magically had a turnaround and shocked everybody to beat Tennessee in Knoxville. Here's the problem. Kentucky has 5 perimeter players that when any of them are on the floor, in particular Wallace, Frederick, and Reeves, they are plus 20, 22 in the plus minus. They are actually the most effective percentage three-point shooters in the Southeastern Conference. The problem is Wheeler is a small guy. He's a short guy. He's stocky, but he is built for dribble drive. But he does not handle the passing game that features extensive three-point shooting. And when your game is centered around driving across the point and getting down in the red zone and getting it up on the rim and one of the big guys to put it in, and we don't exactly have what you call big-time basket protectors other than Toppin on the team this year. That's not Shibway's long suit. You have to realize that when Wallace, Frederick, and Reeves are on the floor, we're plus 22 against the opponent. When Wheeler's on the floor, we're minus 9. And it's not because he's not a decent kid. He's a good player. But when you're 5 feet 10 or 11, good's not enough. You have to be great. And given the fact he is a dribble-drive offense dude that is not the offense we need to be running, Calipari's kind of got a problem in how he's going to handle that, and I think he's done pretty well with it locally lately. I hope he can continue to do it. But at any rate, it's a different look. The old dribble drive that he bragged about and featured the first 13 years he was at Kentucky really put a frown on any kind of structured offense. Well, they've sure turned that around this year effectively since the Tennessee game. And it'll be very interesting to see how we turn out against Kansas tomorrow. Paul, that's probably more than you want to hear about basketball, but that's what I get from my corner of the world, my friend.
Hugh, I appreciate it. No, I learned a great deal there, and I'll be watching that game tomorrow night. I think Kentucky can get that win. They've come out of a dark hole. Thank you very, very much. Joan is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Joan.
Hi, how are you, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. Our game against LSU Tuesday night, Arkansas's game against LSU
Tuesday night,
Boss Hogg, our big inflatable mascot, accidentally bumped the table where Marty was sitting.
Is that Marty Smith?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was there as a sideline analyst.
Right, okay.
Anyway, his coffee got spilled on his backpack, on his credentials, mm-hmm. on his phone. He acted like a spoiled brat, in my opinion.
No, Joan, help us. I did not see the game. Was this shown on television?
Yes.
Okay.
He went on and on and on. And he said that the mascot owed him a new phone and just on and on. It was just ridiculous.
No, Marty said all this on TV?
On live TV.
Wow.
Berating the mascot. I mean, there's a student inside that uniform.
Those mascots work hard.
They work hard, and they don't get much scholarship. And I got a feeling that Marty could come a whole... Nobody's going to make him, the mascot, pay for the new phone, but I just couldn't believe what I was hearing.
I'm sorry to hear that. I did not realize. So he's going to need a new phone, and what else?
Well, he said he couldn't read the face of his phone, and his backpack, the straps on it were all wet, and when he went outside, they would freeze, and he picked up his credentials, and they were wet, and he picked up another paper, it was wet. If you're on the sideline, you're going to have to expect that even a basketball player could have run into you and spilled everything. But for him to berate a mascot, I mean, I just thought it was terrible.
Listen, I don't mean to act like I'm Switzerland here. I just had not heard about that. And I'll see if I can go back and get a replay to see exactly what Marty said.
Go back and get a replay. It was in the second half, but I was embarrassed for Marty.
Yeah,
and I was hurt for that mascot.
Okay, this is the Arkansas mascot.
Arkansas's Boss Hogg, the big inflatable one.
Oh, sure, yeah, I bumped into him before.
Yeah, anyway, he's a big guy. But my whole thing is, Marty just acted like, I mean, he just made a, I thought made a way big case out of it.
Okay.
If when you're sitting on the sidelines and you're on a table and you've got a drink up there that doesn't have a good lid on it,
yeah,
anybody could bump into it.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're, I've sat down there before, and I've been accosted by a lot of people down there at that scorer's table, including wives, coaches' wives.
But, well, normally we would have been at the game, except I'm 70, my husband's 73, and we had a lot of snow and ice that night.
Oh, okay.
And we gave our tickets away, so we saw it on TV, or I wouldn't have even known about it.
So is the weather cleared up out there in Arkansas?
Oh, yes. It's beautiful today, probably in the low 50s.
Yeah,
the sun shining.
Yeah, that's what it is.
In Northwest Arkansas, we can ricochet from one end to the other in 24 hours.
Yeah, you know, I was in Arkansas a couple of times during the season, but we went to Fayetteville the weekend one, and I remember telling somebody that we had not been there. We were there last year, but I think in 2019 we were out there, and it's maybe the coldest I've ever felt. We did our show Saturday morning. It was 17 degrees mean and probably 5 or 10 below. Windshield,
yeah.
And the wind was blowing, and I'm going, man, this is not my kind of living.
No, most people don't enjoy that kind of weather, but like I said, just wait a day or two and it goes back the other way.
Yeah, well, so Arkansas is in the South, but to me, Northwest Arkansas isn't exactly the Deep South.
No, not at all. Northwest Arkansas is a carve out.
Yeah,
it's a multinational population, and it's really a nice place to live.
Oh no, I've always I grew up in Memphis, so we used to always go over to Eastern Arkansas all the time.
Uh-huh.
But I can assure you, the eastern part of the state's nothing like where you are.
No, I know. We lived for 2.5 years. About 90 miles west of Memphis, near Jonesboro.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah,
with the rice fields and the mosquitoes, and I could not wait to get away from there. The people were nice, but I couldn't stand the terrain and the mosquitoes.
Yeah, no, I think that northwest corner there with Rogers and Fayetteville, Bentonville, that's one of the pretty areas I've been to in this part of the country.
Yeah, we live in Springdale, so
oh, sure,
not like,
oh, yeah,
our
I know exactly where you are.
Just outside of, in fact, a lot of people drive right by our house from the airport on the way to Fayetteville and on Highway 112, and we're right on the highway.
Yeah, normally, when we were there the last time, Joan, I'm pretty sure we stayed in Rogers, where all that development is. But I was there a couple of years ago. A good friend of mine runs all the radio stations, Dale Daniels. He runs all the stations in Northwest Arkansas, and he's my former boss. And we went to lunch, I think it was in Bentonville. Man, it was one of the coolest little town squares I've ever been to.
It is really cool. There are some really good restaurants.
Yeah, we had a blast.
Yeah, Northwest Arkansas is a really special place to live. I hated the mascot. And
yeah,
I
tell you what, you tell
Martin,
that mascot, if he's got any problems, let me know, and I'll if he gets billed for the for any of Marty's issues. Randy, would you mind?
I'll help.
Randy and I will come up with $5 or $10 to help them get over the fund. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. Let's continue with more of your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And we continue, and Tex is next up in Washington. Hello, Tex.
Hey, Paul, it's really good to chat with you again.
Thank you.
Been listening pretty steady, but I haven't called in a while.
Wonderful. Good to hear from you.
Well, I, you know me, I kind of like to compare things. And one of my sons played high school basketball against a guy who ended up at Duke. And from that time on, I just became mesmerized with Coach K. And then somewhere along the line, I would watch Coach K and Coach Saban and just kind of compare or maybe even better, enjoy the similarities. And one of them was they both dealt with change with a really good attitude and with some real creativity, and they succeeded even as the landscape was altered around them. With Coach K, the one and done was a big deal. But I sensed last summer that there was some frustration in Tuscaloosa with, and it's hard to believe that Coach Saban would be bothered by the NIL. I've been given to understand that the major programs had some version of that going on for quite a while. But the transfer portal could have a direct effect on someone who's really used to getting really good high school classes and then developing players. And my understanding is that Alabama has amazing facilities and techniques for handling injuries and developing players and so on. So I almost was given to feel last summer listening to the dialogue between Alabama and A&M that there was some frustration over some of the changes that were going on. And I'm going to go back and reference a game that Coach K had in a end of the season ACC tournament. And one of his one and done players said, you know, I'm not playing tonight. And the look on his face told me that one and done had some real downs for him, because he was not respecting that kid at that point in time. And I'm not saying that's what led him to retire, but it sure didn't help him, his mood for that game.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think too, when he had Zion Williamson, who was the other guy he had that was one of the top three or four players? He had two of the top five players in the country, and they couldn't get they couldn't get to the Final Four, and they were both one and doneers. And yeah, he had to play that way. You really couldn't compete in college basketball without going down that road. But ultimately, I think he had done it all. He saw the game changing. Saban's a little different. I think Saban, just became. I think Saban just missed. He did not realize how aggressive some of his competitors, namely Jimbo Fisher, were going to be right out of the chute. One thing about Nick Saban, though, he caught up quickly. All the things he was philosophically opposed to in year one, he found a way to get around the second year. Jim is up next.
Paul, I don't understand, but it happens a lot. What it is, I know you know me. When I call, I got my motor racing. It's racing, ready to scratch off and get out of here and get down the track. You know what I mean? I know you know that.
Of course
I do. Why does it always seem to be I get behind
Hey, Jim, you ever been in a hurry to get somewhere?
Been in a hurry all my life, Paul.
Yeah, and so you know the way the traffic lights change, and you zip in there, and all of a sudden a car pulls out right in front of you.
Well, certainly.
Jim, that's what just happened to you.
Well, no, it's even worse than that. The guy just stalled his car in front of me. He didn't pass me. He didn't come in front of me. He just cut his engine off right in front of me and just stand there. I couldn't get around.
Jim, is it my imagination, or have the two of us been behind a car since this show began 38 minutes ago?
I have been. What's the question?
It just seems like I pulled in the lane here at the beginning of the show at 3 o'clock here, 2 o'clock where you are, and I've been behind a stalled car ever since.
I hear you.
I think this is beneficial.
I hope it is, Kyle, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be upfront and honest. I never have liked Marty. What's his last name?
Marty Smith. Hold on a second. How can you not like Marty Smith?
You don't even want me to tell you.
Well, I mean, I'll
just say one thing, and this is the easiest. This is the least thing I don't like about him. He's a partner of McGee, and Magoo. You know what I think about Magoo?
Now you're cooking, okay? Now I understand.
You're stepping on a good call. I'm telling you.
Okay.
I called to defend Marty.
Oh, okay.
I called to defend Marty because I saw some of that the other day. I didn't see it all, but I saw a good portion of that clip of the Arkansas. And I'm going to tell you something. You know the rule on punt returns? When they get within 3 feet of the guy he's calling for a fair catch? What's that rule?
That's the fair catch rule.
Well, whatever the rule
is. Like getting inside a certain zone or something?
Well, yeah, but that's my point. That's the whole point. Listen, that clown, that moron, that goofball, Arkansas in his big stinking uniform with a head about 5 feet high, he was all over Marty. I mean, he was batting up. It looked like he was trying to intimidate him, trying to frustrate him, trying to do anything.
I've had mascots do that to me.
They need to get knocked on there. You know what?
I'll tell you,
from what I saw. And Joan from Arkansas, it must be his wife or his girlfriend. That's all I can tell you.
Jim, quick question. Which mascot would you like to see me take out first?
I don't even pay attention to those goofy things. That's childish to me. I never have liked that.
The next mascot that gets near me, they're going down.
But I really, really if I'd have been there, I'd have pushed the dadgum mascot out of the way. I don't even like Marty. I'd have pushed him out of the way.
What are you doing, man?
You're trying to get out of the way, guys.
Hey, Jim, slow down. You told me you liked Marty, didn't like Magoo.
I did not like, I don't like Marty, but I said, when you asked me why I didn't like him, I said, well, a good reason would be that he's a partner of Magoo. I can't stand Magoo, you know that.
Why don't you like Ryan McGee?
What?
Why don't you like Ryan McGee?
Come on, Paul. That's the biggest clown that's ever been. When he first started co-hosting your show, he's the worst I've ever seen, and you've had some bad ones. You need to get Alyssa. Only Alyssa Lang is worth. I like her because she knows what's going on, and she's good at what she does. And that's all I can tell you. I mean, she's great. But other than her, I don't care for any of them. But
okay, well,
anyway, let me make my point.
I'm trying to think some of the people that have.
You're stepping on my damn call, Paul.
Jim,
Marty was not out of line from what I saw. The other guy was way out of line. I mean, way out. I mean, that clown, whatever mascot, he was out of line. And that's all I'm trying to get across to you.
Okay. Well, I don't believe he was, but.
You don't believe he was.
I think the mascots are just trying to have fun.
But Marty was trying to do an interview with somebody standing right next to him, and this clown was just all over him, trying to look like he's trying to just frustrate Marty. That's all I can say. I mean, the guy was not letting him do his job.
Do you have any idea how difficult it is to be in that mascot outfit?
I think nothing but a moron would do that.
Jim,
well, that's number one thing.
I know some of these guys, and they're great students. I mean, it's a thankless job to.
You don't get in the way of other people when they're trying to do their job, Paul. That's my point. He was getting in Marty's way, man.
It's not like Marty was splitting an atom, okay? I mean, he was.
I don't know. Marty said he broke his phone. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it the way the guy was. I'm just trying to tell you what's going on, Paul. If you don't want to take the dadgum, look at the tape and judge for yourself.
Okay. Well, listen, I trust you. I mean, I believe you know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm the kind of guy that is careful about stuff like it. I don't like that kind of crap. I really don't like that. And it burnt me up to see that. And again, I'm defending Marty, and he's a guy I don't really care for that much. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
But I'm trying to get the truth out here.
You won't tell me why you don't care for him.
He's just I think he's a ladder climber, you know. I really always have thought that about him. Just trying to climb the ladder and get attention and want everybody to say it. And now he's got on the show with y'all on the morning, you know, the Nation show, and he tries to run that. And I just don't like the guy. I don't like his personality. I don't like anything about him. I really don't. I'm just telling you the truth.
You don't like him. You don't like McGee. What about Peter?
There's very few I like, Paul. You know that. There's very few I like.
You like Alyssa. You don't like Laura anymore. You made it clear the last time you
called. I didn't like Laura. I just think she's very silly, and I got sick of it.
Okay.
Just tell it like it is, Paul. You ask me a question, I'm going to give you a blunt, honest answer.
Well,
I'm sorry. I mean, afraid, don't ask me questions.
Randy, you want me to ask? You don't like Randy either, do you?
They stand Randy. I mean, he runs his mouth in the background, and he's not, believe me, he is not Neil Vickers. He's not that anywhere close to Neil.
You know what,
Jim? I'm open for business. Paul, I'm open for business.
Jim, by the way, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I know you do.
He's no Neil Vickers.
People don't understand how much Neil really made your show in the old days.
Oh, he did.
He made your show.
Neil
a lot of
made without Neil.
He, in
without
fact, Paul,
Neil,
he made you.
Neil made the beginning.
He and
of the
I
show.
Together really made you.
Yeah, he made me.
He really did. He was good at what he did with you.
Yeah.
He got you cranked up. He got you rolling. He was good. I thought you were going to get him back on and interview him on this show. You ought to do that.
Well, I'm stuck with Randy.
Well, I know that's probably what they're blocking Neil, because if Neil comes back, they'll probably want to hire him and get Randy gone down that road.
Well, the difference is that Neil was a news guy who just kind of hung around. I mean, Randy actually
and
has
still
a function
the best
here.
that was ever in the job he did for you. The best ever. And you know, Neil get on me all the time. He didn't like me. I don't know. He acted like he didn't.
He did not like
but
me.
But Neil was good at what he did with
that.
You. What?
I said he did not like you. I know he didn't.
I didn't like him, but I thought he was great at what he did.
Okay. Jim, they're telling me we need to go to a break, so let me...
I know, they always do. But all right, thanks,
well,
Paul.
They usually do when we're right. We're kind of 5 minutes late on the commercial. You hush over there, Randy. He doesn't like you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back. John is up next in Indiana. Hello, John.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
We are great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, do you have a minute for another Bear Bryant moment?
Of course.
Paul, in 1976, Bryant brought his Alabama Crimson Tide up to South Bend to play Notre Dame. And on a Friday, we had a big snowstorm. And, of course, Saturday before the game, they got the snow off the field, and it was piled up on the sidelines. And Coach Bryant brought his team out on the field, and he had on a big black long winter coat and a big black, I guess you call, Russian-Siberian hat. And I'll never forget the moment that he wore that during the game.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that game.
I do. Notre Dame won, I think it was 17-16. It was a hard-hitting game, but Bryant had that winter Russian outfit on. And the quarterback for Alabama was one of the Rutledge boys.
Yeah, they were a couple that played quarterback at Alabama. You had Jeff and what was his brother, Gary?
Yes. But, no, Bryant had that Russian outfit on because it wasn't real cold, but it was a ton of snow, but they got it off the field. But he wore that day. And Coach Bryant also, he recruited some guys up out of the South Bend area. He got a couple guys out of Elkhart, and which was a high school powerhouse, and he recruited them out of Elkhart, and they come down and played for him at Alabama.
Well, how interesting. Well, John, thank you for sharing that story. That was before I started covering Alabama, but I do not remember that game. But I remember seeing Coach Bryant in some of those woolly outfits. We are done for the first hour, and it certainly was memorable, right?
Absolutely.
Hall of Fame hour. Whose Hall of Fame, we're not certain, though. We will be back with more of your phone calls and guests right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.